biggest, like, news story in your life that, if you can recall, that happened across the nation or across the South?
Well, you know, when used to, when like if we was fixing a bowl or anything, we'd get in here at the table and send everybody a letter, Oliver Polk County. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got the names. You know, the names was hard to get, but we got the names, and we got where, you know, they had this thing where the colored could go up there and vote, but then they had to fill out all this stuff that they didn't know how to fill out, and so that made them not vote. Mm-hmm. And then when Luther started going up there, he'd watch them, and when they'd give him a hard time, he'd go around there and take them in there and make them let them vote, because they had their name down.
Yeah.
And,
But they try not to let the blacks vote.
Yeah, they try to keep them away as long as they could.
Yeah.
They sure did. And that's just bad, but I think really the blacks were afraid. You know, they was afraid they'd be killing up there, mm-hmm. you know. And so they would be pushing. And then when Polk General, after Polk General was built and started, he's a doctor, but he told them that we have sat at divided tables at the lunchroom in Polk General the last time. Y'all come behind me today, and we'll sit with whites. That's the first time they ever.
And how was that looked upon? A lot of people did not go to that doctor anymore, did not like it.
No, they just pushed it down, didn't say anything. He's got as good a business as anybody in the city.
So that's the biggest part of civil rights, you felt. In your life overall, what would be the most historical part that had a dual life, not...
Well, I feel like...
That influenced you, or...
Roosevelt coming in and making people happy about trying to find jobs for people, and so they wouldn't be hungry and everything. I think this was the most outstanding thing that I remember. I remember when they said, you know, Herbert Hoover, you know, he was before Roosevelt, I believe. He was, back when I was in seventh grade, he was putting all the gold on a ship and this was shipping it out of the country. I never did know whether that was true or not, but there's something to it, because it was in the news, was in the schools, you know.
So, you feel that Roosevelt was the best president during your life?
Yes. As far as I'm concerned.
And I would think that World War II had a lot to do.
Oh, yes.
Because of Pawpaw being gone, too. Mm-hmm. So that World War II was a time of a lot of struggle for Cedartown and mm-hmm. for everybody.
Well, Harry was at, he was at Texarkana, Texas, and he called on the Fifth Street phone and he said, honey, I'm fixing to be shipped out today or tomorrow or whenever it was. And I turned around to Mama and said, well, Harry's being shipped out in a day or two. And I said, I told him I couldn't come. And she says, you'll be on that train. She just turned to me and said, you'll be on that train when it leaves Cedar. And boy, I was on that train too. Back in those days, you see, you couldn't sit down. You didn't have a seat. You had to stand in the aisles. there's so many people trying to get to travel in different homes and everything.
Did they have different classes of cars, like first class car, second class, and a colored car?
I don't think they did then. Because I think, you could just sit or stand anywhere you could find standing room, you know. And I remember when I got there, I had to cut my shoes. They had straps. I had to cut them off of my feet because my feet were swell, so. And when I got there, my woman that we rented from, I stayed out there with him about a month, I think. And the woman that we rented from went to town and bought me one of these little fold-up chairs, you know, the wood, you see, has a little piece of cloth, you know, and you just fold it up, put it across your arms. She handed me that as I got on the train to come back. Said, now, if you have to stand, I'm giving you something to sit on.
So, that's what you think would be the most, all of that's the most important part of history in your lifetime. How is your outlook now on north and south of the country?
Well, I feel like, I grew up, I think you feel like that. Even though you don't have a pot of gold, I feel like everybody's equal, and we've learned more about Catholics and things of that sort. When that used to be a no-no, you know, at Mama's house about Catholics, but I think they were scared into some of this, you know, from things that had happened. And now, I mean. Well, when Mike Barnett graduated, we couldn't have sacrament with them.
Mm-hmm.
But now we can, here at this little church in Cedartown.
Do you feel, I know you said earlier that you felt like people from the South, farmers, were harder workers than Northern people. Have you always been proud of being from the South?
Oh yeah, I've always been proud of being from the South.
Do you believe there's a myth about Southern women being stronger and bigger and?
I don't know about that, but I know that all the women we had were strong women. You know, I mean, they worked every day and
strong-willed.
Yeah. And then, I mean, nobody ever got up this morning and said, I don't believe I work today. Just the heck of not working, you know. I mean, if I was working that and was able to do it, I might do that, you know. But, I mean, in my family, you didn't do it. If you had a job, you went to it, you know. And I think all of our families worked out like that. I think your daddy, he's one. Fell right in the groove of all of this, you know. And, of course, you and Trace will be just like that.
So you think that working hard helps make you a better person?
Yeah, it makes you stronger and it makes you, you know, want to get out there and do a little more, you know. I mean, as long as you're getting paid for it, like doing something for nothing. I'm not this kind of person.
What's your opinion? What has been your opinion most of your life of people from the North? Just not knowing much about them, or
for instance. Luther worked in Akron, and Luther worked in Cincinnati and different places like that. And we went to visit him, and they would kind of snigger and laugh at us. I'm sure we were drawling our words, and of course, we thought we were speaking all right, but. they'd laugh, you know, because we're from the South. And then you'd come up on another girl and they'd say, oh, you ought to have heard that lady in here while ago. I sure did like to hear her talk. Oh, she drawled her words. And, you know, we never really thought we drawled our words that much.
Mm-hmm. So, what did Uncle Luke think of people of the South, or, you know, of the North? Did he think there was a difference between the two?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he thought that they thought that this better than we were, you know.
Would you say that most Southern people like being in smaller towns in rural areas rather than being in a big city?
Yeah, I think so.
And that's probably because of the farming roots that y'all have?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just different, like even going to your house now. It's different, much different than it is to being around here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you probably feel like, you know, there's no other place but Virginia.
Mm-hmm. This is considered the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's true, that the religion is really strong here?
I think it is right around in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think religion's strong, but lots of these rural areas, and they're showing them on TV not long ago about snake handlers and things like that. I think you very seldom see those people.
What do you think of snake handlers?
I don't believe in it.
It's just a...
I just feel like that too many of them are bit by things like that. And sometimes it takes a while for them to bite, but they'll end up
So you would say you're proud of being a Southerner?
Yes, I'm proud of being a Southerner. Sure they are.
Do you remember any myths about the Civil War or about Reconstruction or anything when you were little?
I can't think of anything, you know, along that line, then. But if you notice, I was pretty small, you know, and all that. I remember, you know, during the Depression about people jumping out, you know, all this stuff that people jump out the windows and kill themselves and this, that, and the other. You know.
Yeah.
Old man Florence here in Cedartown was a cotton buyer. And, of course, he didn't build his new home until... I was in high school. I was about to end high school, about to finish high school, and he built the finest home in Cedartown, and they said it didn't cost him anything.
Yeah.
He knew where to put his money, take it out, and put it in certain places.
What do you know about the murder of little Fairy Megan, little Mary Fagan?
I don't know anything other than what I read in the papers and heard on the radio and read in the book. I read the book, but I've forgotten about that. But anyway, Mary Fagan was a very young girl that was in a pencil factory in around Atlanta there. And she was going in one morning to see if she couldn't get her check in order to do whatever she had to do. And she was killed. And some of them laid it on a colored man. Others said it was a Jew that was, I guess, her boss. Some higher up man, but she was killed that day, and there's a little song that goes like this. Little Mary Fagan went to town one day. She went to the pencil factory to get her little pay. That's all I know.
Did the Jewish man was later hung by people? Did people around Cedartown feel that was right or wrong, or can you remember?
I can't remember, but we had one man in Cedartown that worked over there, and he was G.W. Epps, and he knew this girl, and